to sell. As she put on her things, she has promised once before not to live this way. If she don't calm down, she will burn herself out like a forest fire. Well, doesn't that make you smile?
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, or good morning, or good afternoon, depending where you're listening to us, and thanks very much for downloading Celtic Underground Podcast number 196. Slowly but surely, we're getting towards Magic 200. And I got my finger out, got my acting gear, and we have an excellent podcast guest this week, Mr. Lawrence Donegan of Briefly Bluebell, More Loico and the Commotion, and then Four Iron for the Soul, Guardian, golf writer, Celtic fan, and now at By The Min, Twitter extraordinaire, Lawrence Donegan. We have a chat. We actually had about a half hour, 45 minute ramble between ourselves before we even started recording, which is probably better than the stuff we did. But the chat we do that you get to listen to is the stuff that we talked about to do with the games, and particularly the very poor performance of Kazakhstan. I've mellowed a bit. I'm recording this on Thursday night, so I'm a wee bit more mellow than I was Tuesday and Wednesday on that one. Hope you enjoy the podcast. We're going to have some more lined up. I've already got the next three lined up. Goodness gracious me, I hear you say. So without further ado, it's me, Harry Brady, speaking to him, Lawrence Donegan. Hey, pick you up, put you down, whip you up, then spin you round, just like we said we would. 'Cause we're far as far, believe we'd be. Okay, I am joined by Lawrence Donegan, who's been on the podcast before, talking about his previous lives. So we are this time going to talk about his current life, which is being a Celtic supporter and the hardship of following the nonsense of the European game. And also his exciting venture, which many of you will be following, of By The Minute. Various things: By The Minute cricket, By The Minute golf, By The Minute...
By the Min.
And we will give you the exact spelling of how it goes on Twitter. It's at B-Y-T-H-E-M-I-N, Celtic, golf, cricket, whatever. So apologies. Yes. So I think, first of all, we need to go through the hardship of... Well, not the hardship. First of all, talk about... You're not based in Scotland. So talk about the games you've been to, and then we can talk about the disaster of this week.
Yeah, well, I live in California now, Harry. I live in a place called Mill Valley, which is just north of San Francisco, so I don't get too many games, as you can imagine. In the last 18 months, Celtic games, I've been to St. Johnstone v Celtic at Parkhead. Celtic Park. We got beat 1-0. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember who scored. Was it Sandaza scored? I can't remember. And then I took my son, his second ever Celtic game was Celtic Barcelona.
Right.
We came over for that. I couldn't believe that. And then...
So he's a good omen then?
He's because of the St. Johnstone game.
Oh, yeah,
I know a couple of boys in the backroom staff at Celtic, and he was going to go into the dressing room afterwards to meet the players, and that was all. We'll not be doing it this week.
I get in to meet the players after the defeat?
Well, it was great. He was taken in after the Barcelona game, and he got to meet all the players, and he came out with Fraser Foster's gloves.
Right.
I don't know if they're the gloves he used that night. I can't imagine it would have been, but they were signed and everything, and he had his programme signed. I mean, I couldn't... All the things... You know, when I was that age, I grew up in Stirling, you know, and Celtic was a million miles. I mean, it was this great cathedral, but you'd never go there. Of course, this wee spoiled brat coming over from California straight in, got to meet all the team, and got to meet the Barcelona team, who apparently were very, very gracious. Right. And afterwards, I said, well, what was it like? Daddy, I saw a naked man. Anyway, and so game three of my last couple of year odyssey was Saturday.
Yeah.
I made the long trek north to Celtic Aberdeen.
And I saw on Twitter, one of my things that I've been doing of late has been talking about the customer experience and marketing of Scottish football. Uh-huh. And a big critic of Aberdeen for not being able to market and not have customer service. And your brief tweets summed up my perception of everything that's wrong in Scottish football.
Yeah, well, because my experience of sport is kind of clouded by living in America, you know. We live close to San Francisco, so we go and see the San Francisco Giants baseball a lot. So it's just this incredible, family atmosphere, totally customer orientated. You know, everything is done for the benefit and the convenience of the customer, apart from the prices, obviously. So you kind of roll up to Aberdeen, you know, it's a long trek. I mean, that's not their fault, but it's hard to describe the atmosphere in this, you know, where all the Celtic fans are. You're kind of, well, firstly, the policing when you get there is horribly aggressive, you know. Mm-hmm. It's that whole thing. You say, I've got an 8-year-old son, you say, you know, you treat people the way, you know, you expect to be treated back. You know, so you turn up as an away fan and you're treated like an animal. Mm-hmm. You know, you're spoken to like an animal. You're kind of shepherded into this. I mean, it was just this godforsaken corner of Pittodrie.
Yep.
I don't know if there was any refreshments. I couldn't see because there were so many of us in there.
Could you see all of the pitch?
No, of course not. No, not at all. Because I was standing and it was right over the fence. You know, it was a line of cops every 2 or 3 yards, stewards. And then there's the big high fence. Mm-hmm. And then there's the Aberdeen fans over the other side of the fence. So they couldn't see. And there was a big pole in front of me. It's just absurd. But it was mostly the kind of, you know, just the kind of stewarding and the way that you're kind of all penned into this tiny little corner of Pittodrie. Meanwhile, you know, I'm looking over at a kind of half empty stand over here, you know, with sort of decent seats and everyone's having a nice time or whatever. But do you know, I'm sure this is completely pie in the sky, but I think part of the problem is segregation. I mean, we're kind of in this mindset of segregating fans. I just wonder if we just got rid of that. I mean, we've got this legacy now, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. But I just thought, you know, just take all the stuff away, get rid of all these stewards and just everybody sit down and have a grown-up conversation about football or watch football.
But how many people listening to this, because I know I've done it, have actually, as Celtic have got close to winning a title, have actually been to an away game and sat amongst away fans and not caused a problem?
Oh, yeah.
I've done it. I know somebody else who'll be listening to this. Neil McCallum, he and I have sat on two occasions at Rugby Park as Celtic have got close to a title and Celtic have won the game and we've been in amongst Kilmarnock fans. Yeah.
Well, and so you get the game, whatever. It was a decent... Celtic actually played really well. Actually, I was looking at it and thinking, God, Celtic, they look like a really decent English Premier League team. You know, they're knocking about. It was boys against men. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know it was against 10 men for a long time, but it really was. You know, guys like Ledley and all. It's just good players, proper players. They even looked different to me. You know, they looked like athletes.
Yeah.
So the game finishes. And then, again, you know, way behind, right? And I don't know, you ever been to the way part? You're kind of shoveled through this little kind of chute place. And then, so my car's parked in behind the main stand, which is obviously the other end of the ground. So there's off to the left, there's a kind of road and it's barriered off because the Aberdeen fans are going up. And I say to the cop, I'm a solid citizen. I said to one of the cops, can I just walk down there 50 yards? Because I'm actually, I'm parked around by the main stand. And the guy, in an incredibly aggressive way, no, you need to walk around that way. You know, it's a 20-minute walk against a flow of pedestrians. Mm-hmm. My point is, I'm a grown man, so I suppose I can put up with it. But the whole customer experience, you were made to feel like a complete inconvenience. I'm constantly contrasting this with the experience in the States. Now, I'm not saying that's perfect. I'll give you a quick one. You know, went to the new Yankee Stadium to see whoever it was. I can't remember. So we bowl up. Beautiful, you know, you're ushered in and it's all lovely, etc. And then you go up and my pal says, he's over from Scotland, he says, oh, I'll get the refreshments. He goes up and he gets two chicken and two beers, $67. So,
no, but
you're right.
It's the 21st century entertainment experience.
Exactly. We don't have that mentality in this country.
we are a mid-20th century experience.
Well, it's a kind of 1950s experience.
Yeah.
And again, I was saying to you earlier, I hate coming over and kind of criticising. You know, I love Scotland. I'd move back tomorrow, probably, if I could. But I mean, goodness me, because, you know, if I was running a football club, I would surely be capable of realising this would be for the benefit of my business. You know, people come and they have a great experience. Guess what? They'll come back. You know, there's absolutely no chance on God's earth that I will ever go back to Pittodrie. I am done. I mean, it was just...
And if you think about it, look, so for example, yep. I know exactly what minute to leave the house to get to my seat at Celtic Park yep. with 2 or 3 minutes to yep. spare and then leave straight away and go home. You are coming, so you might get to Pittodrie a bit earlier because yep. you're wanting yep. to give yourself breathing space. Mm-hmm. And the people who are most likely to spend more per capita uh-huh. on the day yep. in the game are the away supporters.
That's
because
right.
they're not used to it.
That's right.
Yet they're the very ones that the whole of Scottish football ignores and doesn't market to.
Here's a good one. So I went to Thistle Hearts on Friday night.
Yeah.
I took my son and his wee cousin. They're both great. They both get in for free, which I think is a brilliant thing. Really yeah. good. Really great. Although, if I was running Thistle, I'd probably charge a fiver for kids.
Yeah.
You get away with it.
Uh-huh.
So, great night, lovely night, West End night. Apart from the sun in their eyes, it was absolutely ghastly. But good, decent game and all that. And after my son's really off, he wants just, he's a, you know, he acquires everything, you know. Can I get a Partick Thistle scarf? I no bother. So we go around, after the game, we go into the Thistle shop. Can we have a Partick, the kid wants a Partick Thistle scarf. We don't sell scarves, son. I was just thinking, what?
What?
The club shop, even this is even better. So, and then last night...
Obviously, it's a bit like saying this is radio. Uh-huh. Currently, my jaw is on
yeah,
the floor.
Well, absolutely. This is even better. So, last night, we go to... The great odyssey of Scottish football continues. We go to East End Park
uh-huh.
For Dunfermline Raith Rovers. I haven't been to East End Park for 100 years, so...
Big Fife derby.
It was great. Well... It was kind of interesting, you know, how bad... I can't bring myself to support Dunfermline because Jim Jeffries in charge, you know. I'm kind of naturally inclined towards Dunfermline, but not, you know, Jim Jeffries is not one of my favourites. So we go to the game and whatever, and we leave 5 minutes early because it's getting late and his cousin has to go. Let's get a Dunfermline scarf. We go round. Club shops is closed. So, I mean, again... You know, isn't it in Dunfermline? I mean, I know they've had financial trouble, but isn't it in their interest just to have the club shop open at the end of a game?
Seeing the current climate, I wouldn't even... Speaking to, because I know yeah. someone connected with Save the Pass, uh-huh. they could have volunteers manning it.
I'm sure.
So it would cost them nothing to have uh-huh. it open.
Again, you know, it's just that whole kind of, you know, customer experience thing. And I know the Americans push it too far the other way. You know, they're constantly trying to, you know, push stuff on you, sell you stuff. You know, the San Francisco Giants... You can go in the day, so they have 162 games, 81 home games every year. You can go in the night, you know, there's like four home games in a row, night after night after night. You can go in the game on the Monday, you can go in on the Tuesday, and you can buy game-worn memorabilia from the previous night's game. So you can go in and buy one of the uniform, or a uniform that one of the players, your favourite player was wearing the previous night, or you can even buy his wristbands, or you can even buy what the bat he was using. I mean, it's, again, maybe you don't want that. Maybe you don't want to pay $275 for a game-worn San Francisco Giants uniform. But you never know. You know, why wouldn't, I mean, I don't know if Celtic do it, for instance, you know, go and buy Joel Edley's shirt from last Saturday. I mean, why wouldn't you? You know, it's a great way of connecting with a fan. You know, it's just that customer experience. You know, there are people who will want to do that. I mean, what a gift that would be, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You know, Joe Ledley's jockstrap.
This is the actual jersey. I mean,
actual jersey.
We'll put it this way. How many times have we seen... So, for example, as I saw somebody joking, the Celtic jerseys that were worn last night because they didn't...
Brilliant. I thought exactly the same thing. Tipperary. Why wouldn't you?
I bet you they will sell those ones because they are special.
Uh-huh.
So why don't you just do it every week? And, OK, if you only get whatever... This is where I'm going to start showing my age. Uh-huh. My 3.5-year-old is quite... Luckily for me, is not in the shirt buying uh-huh. age yet, but at some point he will. So at the moment, I have no idea whether a Celtic shirt is £35 or £55.
I'll tell you what it is.
What is it?
The full kit with the name on the back, £81.
Gee whizzikers. I was about to say something else.
And because I know, because his nephew's just got one, and the away top with the name on the back. It was a great, oh, this is really funny. So we go into the Celtic shop. We were in the Nike store in Buchanan Street, and he says, Daddy, I really want that away top. It's brilliant. So I said, well, let's go to the Celtic shop, because we won't give Nike, we'll give them all the money to the club. And we go around here, and I couldn't believe it. 50 quid with a name on the back. But the and he said, I want a name on the back. I said, what name do you want on the back? And he whispers to me, has Gary Hooper left? And I say, sadly, he has, son.
Yes,
and, and he says, well, what about Tony Watt? I went, not so fast.
Yeah.
But if you were selling that jersey, even if you only did a £25 markup, you know, on top of whatever the normal cost is.
Well, I'm not complaining about the price of jerseys, because that's just what they cost. I mean, it's absolutely scandalous, and the kind of turnover in jerseys, not at Celtic, just at every club in the world, is scandalous. But that's it. You know, that's just the market. So I'm not. I mean, it is a ridiculous price, but that's what the price is. So,
but my point being, even your you know, whatever it is, pre-worn, whatever the phraseology is,
game worn.
Even if you only charged 25, 30 quid more than a non, than just one in the shop.
Well, the only thing is they're limited.
You could charge more. But the point I'm making is, even if you only charge a little markup, you would still sell them out.
But the buzz around them. Can you imagine that? Could you imagine the buzz? It would be, you know, you walk into the Celtic shop and there's 11 dummies with the whole, you know, and every strip that was worn last Saturday's for sale.
Yeah.
Boom. Can you imagine the buzz?
Yeah.
You know, they'll go on sale at, you know, 12:30, queue around the door. People are going into the shop anyway. Oh, we'll come. We didn't get one of the 11 jerseys, but we're in the shop. We'll get. I mean, it's back in.
So, Tony, if you're listening.
Yeah, there you go.
Lawrence wants some commission.
That's right.
On that.
No, so anyway.
So your matchday experience in Aberdeen was crap.
It was really generally bad, and would really, I mean, it's a bit of an eye opener, really. And I know it's one of your things, Aberdeen, you know, as a kind of sleeping giant, and it kind of is. I mean, I think there's 20,000 there.
Yeah.
You know, but part of the problem was the team just looked kind of, again, they were reduced to 10 men after 45 minutes. But I mean, you've got to deliver on the field as well to some extent, haven't you?
Yeah. Well, you do. I mean, it's interesting, because when I tweet or write an article about marketing, and then people say, yeah, but the stadium's crap, and I'll say, yeah, well, I include marketing the product includes having a nice place to go.
Yeah.
It includes the stewarding and policing being nice. That is all about marketing of the product which is on the pitch. Uh-huh. Now, eventually the product on the pitch has got to be right.
That's right.
But if you get the marketing of everything else right, you will, if Aberdeen go from thinking 13,000 is a good crowd to thinking 13,000 is a crap crowd because they're pulling in 20,000.
It's utter contempt for the customer.
Yes.
It's complete and utter contempt. You know, it's a mill owner's, you know, mentality.
Yeah.
You know, these are the lumping pros. We'll just give them any old shit and they'll put up with it, you know. And guess what? We're in 2013 and it's get to season now. People won't put up with it.
No, and it's like pre-all-seater stadiums when the stadiums hadn't been touched for decades and they were just crap because people will put up with it. Then we had Hillsborough and poof, we better spend money on the stadiums. But they spent the bare minimum, so you've got these all-seater stadiums which are nothing special places to go.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit of an attitude of, well, we gave you your all-seater stadium.
Uh-huh.
Think about other entertainment venues you would go to and think about and compare it with a football stadium.
Yeah.
And how many football stadiums, since they turned them into all-seater stadiums, have had much money spent on improving the environment? So if you look at Aberdeen, they've had an all-seater stadium now for 30 years.
Uh-huh.
They've changed one stand, the beach end, Beach Road end, but the rest of it is unchanged for 30 years. Can you imagine a cinema that doesn't renew anything in 30 years?
Be shut down?
Yeah.
Of course, as everybody goes, well,
because people would go to
the
other cinema because that one's crap.
Yeah.
As you say, it's content for the customer.
Again, don't want to come home, but it was great. We went to the cinema the other night. We went to see Planes, which I don't recommend, me and the wee man. And,
I was going to go and see it.
Well, we went into Odeon, and it's 3D. I hate 3D. I said, I don't want to watch 3D. Well, that's all we've got. All right, okay, we'll go and see 3D. Oh, where's the glasses? Oh, it's £1 for the 3D glasses. It's like, what? I just couldn't believe it. I just thought that's utter contempt for people, you know. A, only having it, offering them 3D and then charging them extra for the privilege of it.
But your point about what we've discussed. No, the point about mid 20th century hospitality in the 21st century, leading on to one of the things I can see at Celtic Park, one of the things I've noticed at Celtic Park in the last 18 months is the empty corporate seats. And for me, the problem is what you get at the bottom tier of corporate hospitality is close to what I think the punter should be getting now in the modern 21st century entertainment.
Yeah.
It's not much. I went to look at one of the bits of Celtic Cafe 1888 and it was, you know, I just went along. It was pretty nice and pleasant. And I sat there and I thought, I sit almost directly above that in the up north upper. Mm-hmm. So about effectively I sit 10 rows further back. Yeah. What would I charge? What would I pay extra to have this environment compared to where I sit just now? And I thought, £20 a game, £30 a game. Uh-huh. That really took maximum. Not that I would actually do it, but if I was, what would I value it at? £20 a game. Right, so that effectively makes a season book in here, to me, worth about £800. And Celtic are charging £1,485 plus VAT. Now, you can't claim VAT back on entertainment, so you have to add the VAT in.
Yeah.
So Celtic are effectively charging £1,000 more than I value it at.
Yeah.
But that, to some extent, that's not all Celtic's problem. That is the problem of football, in that that's because I perceive the added benefit that I get should actually be what I'm getting from my bog-standard seat.
It's funny, at Dunfermline last night, they're announcing at half-time, tickets for X game are £17 adults, and there's hospitality available it's from £25 per person. And I was just doing, I wonder what you get for your £8 extra. I tell you, that was a nice Bridie's, really nice, Stephen's Bridie's at Dunfermline, really proper meat. Anyway.
You had complimented Celtic on their style of play against Aberdeen.
Yes.
And you were at Dunfermline Wraith Rovers, and SPFL, I don't know what the leagues are called these
days. Well, Dunfermline are third tier and Wraith are second tier, I think.
Right. So you went to that game. In between those two events, was the Celtic Shamrock game. So what were your thoughts on that?
Well, it blew my mind, to be honest. I mean, after the first 3 minutes, you could see that they had set up. You know, it was two banks of five, essentially, with the goalkeeper behind them. And I mean, they looked... Well, Celtic should have scored early, twice. Mm-hmm. They looked like Ross County on a bad day.
I mean, exactly who I thought.
Right, and I thought that their... What struck me straight away was a kind of poverty of ambition, but from them, from Shakhtar. I couldn't believe that, this was the limit of their ambitions. So I'm, of course, this is an absolute piss case. We're going to, this could be 2-3-0. And then the wheels came off. What do you say? I mean, I don't know. It was an absolute shocker. I never actually saw the Arp Media game. I saw the home game. I saw the 4-0.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know if it were Arp Media better than that crew last night or.
We were more shambolic, probably against Arp Media.
But then you look at the summation of the night. The first goal was just it's just bad defending. The second goal was just pure bad luck. It took a deflection off the boy and it fell to the guy in the 6-yard line and he scored. So I was looking at the picture in the paper this morning and it's Chris Commons and he's got that look in his face. He just cannot believe it. I'm utterly convinced that Celtic will beat them 7-0 next week.
Oh, I said to a couple of things you mentioned there. I said to my wife at half time, much as she was, whatever.
Yeah.
I said to my wife at half time, she'd come in, what's happening? Celtic losing 1-0. Oh dear. That's not great.
Yeah.
And I said to my wife, if Celtic finish the game 1-0 or even 1-1, they will beat this team 5 or 6-0 at Celtic Park.
Uh-huh.
If they lose another stupid goal and it's 2-0, then, and because I'm into my cricket, one of the phrases at cricket is scoreboard pressure. That the reason why teams in a fourth innings don't win a game, even when they're chasing a low target, is scoreboard pressure. Sure. And the nerves of, if you lose a couple of wickets, you're in difficulty.
Gordon Strachan said a really good thing after the game. Don't think about it. You don't think that you need to win 3-0. Just think about it as 2.
Yes.
Which I thought was a pretty
sensible. The biggest reason why, I said to the Celtic, win 1-0 or get it to 1-1, it'll be 5 or 6-0.
Yeah.
If it's 2-0, it'll be hard work to get to 3 because of the pressure of knowing that you need to get there.
Yeah. But, I mean, again, they just looked just so poor. I couldn't... It was But I was also couldn't believe it at the end.
At half time, I was texting people saying, I feel exactly the same as I did against Art Media, which is, I can't believe that we are behind. If we score a goal early in the second half, we'll still win the game. But I can't believe how bad they are, and no matter what score this is, we'll still win at Celtic Park.
I've got this theory, right? I thought Samaras played an absolute shocker.
Yes.
I mean, shocker. You know, and didn't look interested, to be honest. Well, you know, and I'm sure that's not the case. I mean, I think he loves playing for Celtic, but hates playing as a kind of sole, you know, the kind of target man, you know, centre half. Because, you know, and I'm watching some of the games recently, and Lennon's got Stokes up front, and I think, I keep on thinking Lennon's doing this to make a point to the board. You know, look, this is what we've got. You know, we need to do something.
He's sort of moved Commons to almost an out-and-out striker as well, rather than sitting slightly behind. He's moved him.
I'm not sure that's not kind of Commons's. I mean,
no, but my concern is it reminds me of when we had no strikers and we moved Pat McGinley to play up front.
Oh, right, well, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, it's 20 years ago.
But, you know, I thought Samaras had an absolute shocker. Who else played? Ledley was a poor game, actually.
Ledley was anonymous.
Yeah. James Forrest. Uh-huh. Now, I think there's a kind of... You remember, 2 years ago, he was named as one of the top 50 young players in the world. And I think he's... I know he was injured for a long time last year, and I hope it's the injury, but I'm getting slightly concerned about James Forrest. Because I don't think he's lost a bit of his pace. You know, I don't know, if that's to do with the injury, and he just hasn't quite got all the way up. And I was just thinking this morning, driving the car, maybe it's time to sign Mackay Stevens from Dundee United. Because I don't know, he didn't have I saw the highlights. And he's got what Forrest doesn't have right now. He's got a bit of a trick about him.
The thing that annoys me about Forrest at the moment, one of the things that annoys me about Forrest at the moment is he does the thing that used to bug me about McGeady, which is a defender getting within 6 inches of him and he falls over, throws his hands up, sits in his backside, throws his hands up in the air asking for a foul, then runs after the linesman waving his hands up in the air like a bird.
I haven't noticed that.
By which point, the play's 50 yards further down the park and Celtic's right back has suddenly got 2-on-1 because he's sitting feeling sorry for himself further up the park.
Well, you'll notice last night, though, there wasn't a lot of pressure on the Celtic right back. And I think, you know, where Forrest is quite, you know, has developed, he's quite good and his defensive duties. I think he's pretty, you know, he's diligent about that, you know. So he's got that over Mackay Stephen.
What somebody should show him is Jimmy Johnson against, say, Atletico Madrid, where he get kicked every 5 minutes. And what Jimmy Johnson the point being, he got up and kept playing and got up and picked. And it is a different era. So in modern football, the defender gets booked. And in modern football, the defender gets sent off. Forrest, my irritation is him sitting on his backside, waving his arms up in the air, expecting a foul, and then bemoaning not getting one.
My complaint about Forrest is far more sophisticated than yours. You know, mine's a purely
football.
It's a purely football. I worry about him. I'm beginning to slightly. Isn't it funny? I'm driving the car thinking about, I wonder if we should sign that fella from Dundee United. But he did something on Saturday, the Dundee United player. His feet are so quick. Now, what I really like about Lennon as a manager, right, I would have punted Scott Brown a long time ago, right? I'd never liked him. But Lennon insisted in keeping him, and he's turned him into... I mean, you imagine Celtic without Scott Brown?
Well, I think Scott Brown's essential to the way the
team
plays.
Totally. I credit Lennon for that.
Yep.
And I credit Lennon. I mean, he's done the same as... Samaras is a great rescue job as well. So I think he's good at developing players. I think a lot of Commons' improvement is down to himself. I'm told he's in the gym all the time.
But where I would criticise Lennon was he didn't change anything about our team until 82 minutes last night.
Yeah, but it's like, what have you got? You know, what have you got? You know, you have nothing on the bench. But what my point... Just to finish my point, though.
Yeah.
But if we got Mackay Stevens... Is it Mackay Stevens?
Yeah, Mackay
Stevens. Aye, or Mackay Stevens, whatever. I think we could do something with him. Because his big failing is defensively. He doesn't do any work defensively. And he needs to be told, listen... Get your arse back here and you know, and help out the fullbacks. So, you know.
One of the other interesting things on Twitter last night was the very many people, and you mentioned this just before we started, the very many people who were criticising the board for not spending money.
Yeah.
The defence I would give of the board is they did sign two centre halves and sold one.
Yeah.
They did sign a centre forward and sold one, and they also signed the guy, what's his face, thingy from Ajax.
Something Rigger. Richter or something.
Yeah.
Do you know what's funny though? Injury, I was laughing. Well, I wasn't laughing, it's terrible. You know, the injury prone, oh, he'll be fine, you know, and he totally plays. I mean, did you see what happened to him?
Yeah.
I mean, he kind of stubbed his toe in the 6 yard line and he's out and no sign of him. Nobody's heard anything.
No.
I don't know what's, I mean, it might be safe.
Because I think the Dutch play when they're 100% fit.
Is that right?
So if they're 75, they don't play. Whereas,
I tell you who's a great signing, I think, is Virgil van Dijk. He looks to me like a proper player.
Well, this is my point. People were complaining last night because we sold the spine. Well, he bought Virgil van Dijk and Moyakolo.
Uh-huh.
It's in defence of the Lawwell.
Yeah.
It wasn't Lawwell's decision to last night against a team where the only thing we knew about them was that they just played Route 1 football.
Bo Richter. That's the Dutch fella.
Bo Richter, that's it. So, in defence of Lawwell, he signed an attacking Bo Richter, goal-scoring Bo Richter.
Yeah.
He signed Bobo Baldi, and he signed two centre-halves. In defence of him, Lawwell didn't decide to have the two centre-halves making a competitive debut together against a team who the only thing we know about them is that their one tactic is to play long balls into the middle.
Uh-huh.
And Bo Richter, well, it's not his fault he was injured.
Most important player on any football team. The guy, I mean, it's got to be the guy. You know, we are absent right now a guy who'll score you 30 goals a year at a decent level. You know, but Stokes, I don't like Stokes. Stokes will get you 18 in the SPL or something like that. And that's a real. I mean, the board have taken a punt. I don't know. I don't know the board, but they've definitely taken a gamble. I mean, it's a very calculated gamble. They must have looked at this Bob and said, "Oh, we'll get through it."
I think they're in the two dilemmas of we are more. We've got more than enough to win the league comfortably.
Yeah,
and. And spending all the £20 million we've got in will not make us a last eight team in the Champions League.
No.
So there is a dilemma of how much do you spend when we're good enough to win the league, we're probably good enough as we are to get into the Champions League, and spending any money is not going to get us beyond last 16.
Let's come back to your point about how do you please your customers?
Well, then it gets back to a decision about pleasing the customer.
So, you know, I'm sure they might. It's a calculated gamble, right? And it's a gamble they might lose now, and that's going to cut. You know, the penalties for that are going to be enormous. You know, if they don't get through next week, then they'll get pelters. And you know, and you then have to make the judgment: should they have taken that gamble?
The only thing that you don't know is: have we purchased the type of player that we can get with non-Champions League football? And the type of player that we all want will only come to us if we're definitely playing Champions League football.
Yeah, this is the story on Finn Bogson, isn't it?
So Finn Bogson and others that we might be looking at is the board's problem. Well, we can go out and we can buy another £1.5-2 million players who'll come to us because of Europa League football.
Uh-huh.
But we want, and you fans want, the £4-5 million player, and we can only get them if we're definitely in the Champions League. So could the board's gamble that you talk about, could the board's gamble actually have been that we're not going to blow our money on players that will only come because we're Europa League, we're going to wait and only buy the decent quality that will only come to us because we're playing Champions League football?
Yeah, but then, you know, if you don't buy the guy that's going to get, you know, if you don't buy your Hooper replacement, your straight Hooper, you know, he might have scored, you know, instead of Samaras flicking it, whoever it was.
But my point being, the Hooper replacement might only come if we're guaranteed Champions League football.
Well, maybe, but maybe not. I mean, who knows?
The point being.
But I hate to sort of, you know, generalise about footballers, but it's mostly, and it's the same as everybody, it's mostly about money, you know.
Uh-huh.
So if we offered the right amount of money, you know, to the player, the right kind of deal to the player, the right kind of incentives to the club.
But the right amount of money.
We're not.
It's probably £40,000 a week.
Well, not necessarily. Finn Borgson's playing in Holland for, he'd probably be playing for £7,000 a week or something. Celtic come in and offer him £25,000. My goodness, that's a lot of money. You know, Celtic probably, I mean, again, I have no idea. They probably went in and said, we'll double your wages, 14. Then, ooh. You know, if they'd gone and said, we'll triple your wages, 21. He's bound to come, isn't he?
But then you've got a whole problem of the dynamics of your wage structure you've decided
to say. I know that. But what's the top wage at Parquet? £25,000, £27,000?
I don't think it's that anymore. I think it's 20.
Is it? than Scott Brown to get a pay cut the last time?
Or he might be the only one above 20.
Well, there you are. I mean, $20,000. Can't believe I heard that the let Hooper go for. Although I think ultimately Hooper decided he wanted to go.
Yeah.
But there was a point in the gossip.
It was only about $5,000, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd heard it was in somewhere, you know. What's that? $250,000. Oh, mind you, that's not. It's not it's a fair whack.
It's
whack
$250,000.
That's almost as much as you get paid.
But not quite.
Yeah. Anyway.
I think that's a good time to stop, since we rambled on far too much before we started, and do the Buy Them In Celtic and at Buy Them In Sport or next week or sometime in the next 10 days with Lawrence. Hope you enjoyed that, and speak to you later, Lawrence. Cheers.
In the lands of the north, where the black rocks stand guard against the cold sea. In the dark night that is very long, the men of the Northland sit by their great log fires and they tell a tale.
And gee whiz, aren't we fed up of hearing about that tale? Yes, we are playing Inverness Cali Thistle this weekend. And our first ever game against that team was on the 8th of February 2000. And by Jiminy Jim Jim, every single time we play them, that comes up as being a point of discussion. It's in the past, it's gone, we've thumped you most of the time we've played you ever since. Shut up. But for younger listeners, you may be wanting to know what the world was like back then. Well, we had a management duo consisting of a director of football, Kenny Dalglish, and sitting underneath him was a young guy in his first job in management, John Barnes, and he'd been given lots of money to spend, and we were not that great. Neither were the charts. I think this was the period that got me stopping listening to Radio 1 on a regular basis. Because if you look at the singles charts, goodness gracious me, number one was Rise by Gabrielle, and then thereafter was a whole lot of crap that I couldn't even tell you what it was. At the cinema, people were watching American Beauty, a film I've only seen bits of, and bits of them, as I'm a bit older, I've enjoyed, and I really should watch it. There's also, at the cinema, leading the way was Toy Story 2.
To infinity and beyond!
And the other big film at the cinema that year was Gladiator.
At my signal, unleash hell.
Better than the singles chart at that time, well, depends on your taste, I suppose, was the album chart. And the top three albums in the week commencing 8th of February, that disastrous week, were Travis, Britney Spears and Shania Twain. So for Travis and Britney Spears fans, the famous time when we first played Inverness Cali Thistle, 8th of February 2000, we lost 3-1. I'd forgotten Lupo scored an own goal that night, and Mark Burchell got the goal for us. Well, it was. And if you also remember, we were only playing that midweek night because Terrible Storms had taken a bit off. I can never remember which one's Lisbon Lions and which one's Jock Stein Stand. I still call them Rangers End and Celtic End. It was the Rangers End Stand, and people will probably complain and tell me which one it is. That's the way I am. Anyway, but the first time we actually played Inverness Cali in the league was another 3-1 game, and it was 4 years later, virtually 9 years ago this weekend. It was the 22nd of August 2004. A Hartson double and Stylian Petrov, somebody coming back shortly to the club. Goals made it 3-1 for Celtic. The game was actually played at Pittodrie, because if you remember, they weren't ready for playing in the SPL. So that game was Pittodrie, first time we played them. And in 2004, the films you'd been going to see would have been Shrek 2, I, Robot and The Bourne Supremacy. Singles charts, Baby Cakes with Three of a Kind, absolutely no idea, and I don't think it's the type of song that I want to have any idea of, but anyway, there you go. And the album chart, well, album chart was Anastasia in the week of the 22nd of August, Anastasia, Maroon 5, Keen and Snow Patrol. So to finish off this week's podcast, here's Snow Patrol.
As we say our long